This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by E.J. Antoni, the chief economist, and Richard Astor Fellow, Grover Hermann Center for the Federal Budget. E.J., welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, EJ, there's this friction going on between the Trump administration and a number of universities, friction between Republican Congress members and these private universities as well. And most recently, Elise Stefanik writes a letter to the Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Paul Atkins saying, we need to look at the university's finances because they may not be as valuable as what they are publicly stating because of the type of investments that are being held in this $53 billion endowment. And we know that they went out and issued some bonds, and I guess those are the dots that she's trying to connect. For the benefit of our listening audience, what does this all mean in the end?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the biggest takeaway is we shouldn't expect honesty in terms of finances from the same people who can't be honest about, keeping women's spaces exclusively for women, about saying to men, no, you can't compete in sports with women. I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. As soon as you let in, I think, that kind of dishonesty and that kind of disconnect from reality, where you can't even determine what a woman is anymore. Again, we shouldn't be surprised when these folks don't really have any kind of contact with reality when it comes to something as objective as finance and numbers. And what they're really doing here is something that's incredibly self-serving, where they're manipulating the way that you value these different assets in order to try to make their own position look better. At the end of the day, it's as simple as that. And again, it's a stark parallel, I think, to what they're doing in things like the whole discussion around men and women's sports, where they are trying to appeal to a certain group of people, the radical left, and so they are changing definitions of words and changing longstanding policies just to try to make themselves look better. In this case, it's in the eyes of a relatively small group of people.
Doesn't this eerily sound very familiar or similar to what the New York AG accused President Trump of doing relative to asset valuation?
I don't think so for a couple of reasons. The biggest of which is that in the case where they accused the president of a certain type of behavior, what they accused him of wasn't even technically illegal, which was very funny. But the other reason is the fact that even if the president had overvaluated certain real estate assets of his, the banks also overestimated it. In other words, everyone involved in that transaction came to the same conclusion. And so it's difficult to say one party was defrauding the other when they both agreed to to the value of something. Now, you may argue whether or not that's the right value or the wrong value to assign to a building or to a piece of land or to both. But at the end of the day, when everybody agrees on it, who exactly has been defrauded, especially when the loan was repaid?
Yeah. Well, and in the larger sense, I was just talking about, you know, here we go again as it relates to valuations. But the interesting thing here is they know that a lot of this is not cannot support the valuations that they're carrying on their books because they've already transferred some of these assets, at about an 11% discount. And what they're seeing in the market right now is that for some of these funds that they own, which are venture capital funds in the form of private equity, they're taking 25% haircuts on some of the prices of other assets that they're sold. So this whole thing is really overstated.
And it really parallels in a lot of ways the general mess that the Federal Reserve has created in the broader financial sector, where you're talking about a banking system right now that has hundreds of billions of dollars. This is not an exaggeration. Hundreds of billions of dollars in unrealized losses. In other words, they have assets on their books that are no longer worth their face value. They've declined in value. Now, for a lot of these assets, as long as they never have to sell them, they never have to realize that loss, and they'll continue generating revenue. That would be the case for a thing like a mortgage, for example. But the fact remains, there is an incredible amount of leverage and risk now built into our financial system, which was not there literally just a few years ago. So, you know, it's not even something that's unique to this school, and it's not even something that's unique to school endowments more broadly. But in fact, this has kind of become a new systemic risk that we're seeing throughout the financial services industry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The vast majority of their investments are those that fall in those categories that I mentioned before, and the fund managers are the ones that actually put the value statement or proposition on those assets, otherwise known as net asset value. Does the industry have something to fear by opening this kind of Pandora's box here? I mean, I know it's starting with universities, but how far can this go?
Oh, good question. I don't know if there really is a way to tell how far it can go. You know, how deep does the rabbit hole go, as the saying is. I think part of the problem here is that you're not necessarily, even though, again, there are systemic problems in terms of evaluating the value of financial assets today, that's not to say the malfeasance or the bad actors in one area have anything to do with the folks somewhere else. So I don't think it would be a case where, all right, we start investigating this particular university and all of a sudden we uncover some kind of grand conspiracy or, you know, any such nonsense like that. But rather, look, if you want to investigate these things on a case-by-case basis, I see no harm in doing so.
But I mean, as it relates to the industry, you know, and these investment tools, if it's uncovered that for the most part across the they're overstated, it would seem to me that that would be a significant problem for this sector of the industry.
Well, it doesn't mean that anyone else is valuing those assets in the same way, right? If you could have essentially virtually identical assets on one institution's books as on another, but those institutions could have different valuations for those assets.
Right.
So the fact that one person is overvaluing something doesn't mean everybody else is at the same time. You know, it's not as if we have, for example, a stock trading floor where we can go and we can point to say, all right, this particular asset, let's say it's shares of ExxonMobil, this particular asset is currently trading at this price. Very oftentimes, these financial instruments or derivatives, whatever the case may be, do not have any such kind of pricing mechanism where it's easy for us to figure out precisely how much these things would sell for if we wanted to sell them today. And that's the kind of information you get when you look at a stock ticker. But again, that's not necessarily what you get for a lot of other financial assets. And that's why you have these different methods of estimating how much a particular asset is worth. And it's why it's so important that those estimation methods be accurate, because you don't want to be in a situation like this where you potentially have lots of unrealized losses on your books, where you think your assets are worth, let's say, $100 million, but if you went to sell them today, you would actually only get $80 million for them. You don't want to be in that kind of position, obviously.
Is that what falls under the category? You hear this often, talking about mark-to-market valuation.
Yeah, the mark-to-market is essentially saying, all right, this is what you could sell it for today. And when we look at the unrealized losses that we see throughout the banking sector, for example, that's where you're looking at, okay, these securities, if we were to sell them today, regardless of what we paid for them, regardless of the face value of these securities, if we were to actually sell them today, how would we price that? You mark to market. And again, that's where you run into a lot of this red ink, and you realize that, oh my goodness, if we did have to sell these assets, we would lose our shirts.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that we allow the individuals that are actually marketing these financial instruments to, you know, place the valuation, and we're allowed under the IRS rules to accept their valuations. That's kind of the fox watching the hen house, right? Because they're not independently valued.
Right. Now, the question is, where would you get an independent valuation from, though? Because
sure,
at the end of the day, everything is worth what its purchaser will pay for it. But what if there is no purchaser today? Now you have instantly, no matter who it is, whether it's a government regulator or whether it's the person packaging the securities and a third party, whatever the case may be, you have instantly introduced a degree of subjectivity and therefore a certain amount of risk. Because if you don't have someone with cash in hand saying, I will buy that from you right now for this much money, as soon as you move away from that, you now are in, again, into that field of subjectivity and speculation.
Speculation, arbitrary. I'm in that circle, and in this 15 minutes with you, I haven't been able to get out. It's kind of interesting.
Well, it's not, you know, I do want to say, you know, when I say things like speculation, I do want to point out that is not a pejorative, right? I know people say like, oh, greedy speculators or evil speculators or whatever.
Right. No.
Look, you know, there's no such thing. I mean, every time a speculator makes money, there's another speculator who lost an equal amount of money on that trade. So, you know, this idea that somehow speculators drive up or drive down prices or do something else, or they cost the consumer money. Okay, there was another speculator somewhere else who saved the consumer just as much money. It's a wash at the end of the day. And you know, look, arbitrage exists for a reason. It's because someone is making a bet and someone else is taking the opposite side of that bet.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. I still don't know where the representative is attempting to go with this, and I guess it will continue to reveal itself. And if it's connected to the bonds that they issued, you know, and whether or not you had these assets that were stated in the portfolio or what, you know, I'm not exactly sure where she's going, but obviously she feels like she's got something to hang her hat on, right?
Oh, sure. And my guess is what they want to do is they want to make sure that these institutions are actually dotting their I's and crossing their T's and not engaging in any kind of, you know, blatant malfeasance essentially here, where they're doing something along the lines of saying, I know that this asset essentially is not worth this much, but on this form, I'm still going to write down that it's worth this much because it will allow me to further leverage this asset further than is safe. And, you know, look, the reason people use leverage is because it can be profitable. Of course, mm-hmm. leverage is also inherently risky. So what ends up happening here is that if that risk does not materialize, in other words, if the bet pays out for you, it will pay out more depending on how leveraged you are. And that's why they are essentially trying to get as leveraged as possible in these types of situations, because they think the bet is going to pay off. Of course, the bet doesn't always pay off, and that's where you get into things like the mortgage meltdown, the housing crisis, the global financial crisis, et cetera.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. E.J. Antoni, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great 4th of July weekend.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.